gonna be round my vegetables. I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Sprouts. It's your 75-cent coffee fix in the sub. It's your source for reasonably priced, creatively named stew and vegan brownies. It's your purveyor of bicycle-delivered local produce. It's also a place where volunteers can realize their vision of responsible business and where like-minded students can explore UBC's food systems. Hark! Sprouts is currently accepting applications for next year's executive board and is encouraging ambitious, creative, and disciplined students from all faculties and year levels to apply. Come by Sprouts in the sub-basement to learn more about our projects and how to get involved.
I tried to kick the ball, but my tinny flew right off. I'm red as a beet, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
Hi everyone, we're from the UBC Food Society.
Yummy!
And we're the only food club at UBC.
We're about feeding students, but also teaching them how to feed themselves. Through our restaurant outings and cooking workshops, we hope to expose you guys to the diversity of cultures, flavors, and food communities Vancouver has to offer.
So if you want to get involved, email us at foodsociety@gmail.com or check up on our website at www.ams.ubc.ca/clubs/foodsociety, or you can even join our Facebook group.
Today is Friday, August 26, 2011. It's time for News 101.
Right here on News 101.
What motivated you to become a candidate in the provincial election?
The media portrayal of last week's protest that resulted in polarizing images of black-clad activists taking to the streets.
He was just explaining to us the reason why they wanted to show this film on campus.
The official stance is that we are for the Olympics.
News 101 reporter Brad Pepping was there.
By discriminating against homeless people in Vancouver, there's a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal people as well as people with disabilities.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective.
You're listening to News 101, Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced, student and community newscast, offering you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective.
What's left of us? And welcome to News 101. I am Martin Lumlin, and it was an historic day for BC today, as we were successful in repealing the controversial HST. We're going to go back to the PST-GST system. It's going to take a while, and we're going to get you as much as we can know at this point. But first, we're going to start with FSRN and their international news. But we're going to have an open discussion here. If you want to air your comments about getting rid of the HST and going back to the old system, please give us a call. Our phone number here is 604-822-CITR. Here's FSRN for you.
I'm Jess Burns with headlines for FSRN. In a national televised address today, Japanese Prime Minister Naoto Kan announced he intends to step down. Recently, a national poll showed that Kan's approval rating had hit 15.8%, the lowest since he took office last summer. FSRN's Claudia Cragg has more.
For months, PM Kan, a co-founder of the ruling Democratic Party of Japan, has faced a constant barrage of criticism over his inept handling of both Fukushima and the Japanese economy. The country's debt is now twice the nation's GDP and further burdened with billions of dollars in disaster cleanup. there remain widespread complaints from disaster victims about persistently slow recovery efforts, and new reports of yet more radioactive cesium-137 leaks, said to be equivalent to 168 Hiroshima bombs. Today, the government announced plans to reduce radiation in the areas around the crippled Fukushima plant by at least half by removing soil, plants, trees and the roofs of buildings. The ruling Democratic Party will hold debates and an internal election this Sunday to choose Khan's successor. Claudia Cragg, FSRN.
The UN Sanctions Committee has approved the release of $1.5 billion in seized Libyan government assets to the opposition National Transition Council. But today, the African Union refused to recognize the group as the legitimate rulers. Amnesty International says that earlier this week, Gaddafi forces killed potentially dozens of detainees at military camps in the capital. The human rights group spoke to survivors of the ordeal. They said troops opened fire and threw grenades as a group of prisoners tried to escape. At another camp, guards shot at least five prisoners being held in solitary confinement. The government of Mexico has declared 3 days of mourning in the wake of an arson attack that killed more than 50 people in a casino. For FSRN, Shannon Young reports.
A fire started by a group of armed men killed at least 52 people Thursday at the Casino Royale in the industrial city of Monterrey. The attackers doused the ground floor with gasoline and set it on fire. Eyewitnesses say many people who fled to the second floor were trapped. The building's emergency exits were apparently locked. The motive behind the attack is unclear, but theories include that the casino may have been laundering drug money or that its owners had refused to pay an extortion fee. Violence attributed to a turf war between the Gulf Cartel and the Zetas has killed more than 1,000 people in Monterrey this year. Shannon Young, FSRN, Oaxaca.
President Obama today issued a disaster declaration in six coastal states ahead of the forecasted landfall of Hurricane Irene.
All indications point to this being a historic hurricane.
The Category 2 storm is expected to strengthen before making landfall in the U.S. Today, the Obama administration okayed the environmental impact statement needed to allow the Keystone XL pipeline project to move forward. The 3-foot diameter pipeline is intended to carry oil from the Canadian tar sands to the Gulf Coast of the U.S. Environmentalists have soundly opposed the pipeline, saying any breach or leak could be ecologically disastrous. Final approval is not expected until later this year. In related news, in Moscow, Idaho this morning, a crowd of about 150 protesters turned to spontaneous civil disobedience and blocked a 200-ton ExxonMobil megaload shipment. The equipment on the load is en route to the Alberta tar sands. For FSRN, Radio Free Moscow's Lee Robartis has more.
Dozens of protesters repeatedly used crosswalks. Others refused to clear the streets and were hauled to the side by police. Six people were arrested. Gary McFarlane is a Moscow-based environmental activist.
We have the people that are supposed to protect the citizens of the state threatening to arrest the citizens as an out-of-country corporation trying to haul a giant megalood for the most destructive planetary project that we've probably ever seen in decades, if not centuries.
The so-called over-legal load is one of hundreds owned by an ExxonMobil Canadian subsidiary. Imperial Oil wants to ship equipment through the Northwest to build a bitumen extraction plant in the Alberta tar sands. Lee Robartis, FSRN, Moscow.
And that's headlines for FSRN. From Eugene, Oregon, I'm Jess Burns.
Thanks you very much to FSRN for bringing us those headlines. If you are interested in looking into more of their headlines or their features, you can find them at fsrn.org. I am Martin Lemelin. You're listening to News 101, and today was a big day for British Columbians and British Columbia in general when Chief Electoral Officer Craig James walked on the legislative floor today and said,
"The yes side, 54.73%, and the no side, 45.27%.
James was, of course, talking about the HST. It has been successfully repealed following the petition that led to the referendum that was brought about by Bill Van Der Zom and his Fight HSD campaign. Van Der Zom had this to say outside the courthouse today.
This is a historic day, not only in our province, but in the country. It's the first time in the British Commonwealth that the people actually had a say in how it is they're taxed.
All that aside, we need to face the focus now is what we need to go forward, and there are lots of issues that are going to come about, chief among them the $1.6 billion to be repaid back to the federal government, as well as it's approximate right now that about $1.4 billion is going to cost us to just simply reinstate the tax. It's not going to be fast. It's going to take at least a year and a half before we can undo what we've spent the last 2 years doing. And to try and sort of get to the bottom of it and the lessons learned, we spoke to a lot of people today, and we're going to go through as many of those interviews as we can, starting off with Rebecca Helps, who is with the Green Party of BC. She's the executive director, and we had a little chat to try and get to the bottom of it. All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Beautiful. So the HST's been repealed.
Yes.
What do we do now? What's the process like? Can you imagine?
I think the government has a lot of work ahead of them. It's my understanding it's going to take nearly 2 years to revert back to the PST. And the Green Party feels that before we revert back to the PST, we should look closely at what was exempt and consider what should be exempt underneath the PST. Underneath the old PST, there's a lot of things that were exempt. Really, it was based on lobbyist groups and not good, sound tax policy or a reason to exempt it because it benefited British Columbians in some ways. And so the Green Party would hope the government looks at that and brings in a PST which makes sense for this province.
So it's going to take about 2 years, you said, to repeal or to revert back to the PST system. Is that going to be how long it takes before it's actually in place?
That's my understanding from what the government has said, is that it will take them 2 years to roll back the HST and get PST reinstated.
And obviously with this, we've lost a massive chunk of spending money. We don't even have spending money to begin with, but we have to, first of all, probably going to have to pay back the federal government $1.5 billion plus another $500 million or so to just to reinstate the tax. I mean, this is a massive blow to our finances.
It's going to be a real blow to our finances. We're already in a deficit. The deficit is going to increase because we know the HST brought in greater revenue than the PST for the province. So we're going to have a greater deficit because of that. We're also going to have the cost of rehiring everybody that was laid off from the PST processing facility. And we're going to have the cost of, I think it's $1.6 billion that needs to be paid back to the federal government. So this is going to be a real hit to BC taxpayers.
And, I mean, we're still going to need money to function. Do you have any ideas? Do the Greens have any idea where the government's going to try and seek out this money to help alleviate the burden?
Well, we believe the income tax rate for corporations should be increased, and that a lot of the benefits which are going to big industries in BC, subsidies to oil and gas, needs to be stopped. And that's one way that we can start dealing with some of the deficit.
Now, I heard Christy Clark say that her and her ministers have been working on sort of a backup plan coming up to the referendum. Have you heard anything about what the plans might be?
I've heard some of the stuff with the PST in terms of increasing corporate tax, but not too many details, specifics, have I heard yet.
Do you think that this is going to help sort of fast-track an election in the fall?
I honestly don't know. Regardless of the HST results, she could have spun it into a reason to call an early election. The fact that when she was originally elected, she talked a lot about wanting a mandate, and now she could say, oh, well, I don't have a mandate, so let's call an election. Christy Clark is going to do what Christy Clark wants to do and what she thinks is in the best interest of Christy Clark. And a lot of that's going to have to do with keeping the other parties off balance so that the conservatives, the NDP, and the Greens don't have the warning and the time to get ready for an election.
Well, I mean, immediately, what's going to happen right now for the next month or so?
It's going to be business as usual, unless she calls an election. And I mean business as usual in the sense that everyone's going to keep talking about the HST and the revert back to the PST. It's dominated the conversation for 2 years, and it's going to dominate the conversation for at least the next month or two while everything comes out as to what has to be done to revert back to the PST. And I think voters are going to, you know, be in for a shock when they really sinks in that they still have the HST for another 2 years and that we're not going back to the PST overnight, as I think a lot of them were thinking would happen.
You think it was maybe a fiscal mistake to abandon the HST?
Well, the Greens left it up to voters. We felt it was strongly for people to vote for what they felt was in their best interest, and the people of BC have spoken on that. So this is what British Columbians want. They want to go back to the PST, and the Green Party supports the decision of British Columbians.
It can't help but shake the feeling that it was more of a backlash vote than anything else, that it didn't even matter what the question was. People feel that the HST was brought in a dishonest way, and whether it's easier or more convenient or better generally is irrespective, that they would have voted just based on the fact, sort of to teach government a lesson.
Yeah, a lot of people voted on that. And speaking personally, that was something I struggled with, was did I vote based on what I thought made sound tax policy, or did I vote based on the fact that I was angry with the government? And that was, I think, a question many people in BC struggled with, because they weren't happy with the Liberals and what the Liberals had done in bringing in the HST, and more importantly, how it was brought in. So if anything, this referendum has shown the government and the parties that they need to be upfront and honest with the citizens of this province, or we're going to hold them accountable, and that's a good thing.
I think so, too. What can we do, the citizens? What should we be focusing on in these next couple months to help us understand and sort of know as much of the process that's going to happen from here on in as possible?
Citizens need to get engaged in the political process. Parties are based on citizens' involvement. So if you don't like the way things are going in the province, or if you're not happy with decisions that are being made, then you need to get involved. Join the Green Party of BC. Take part in helping to get Greens elected. As been shown around the world, when Greens are elected, governments operate with more transparency and more openness and with better interests of the citizens in mind. And so if the citizens of BC really want to send a message that this is not a province where the government can take advantage of citizens, then, quite frankly, they need to join the Green Party BC, get involved, and help get Greens elected, because the status quo of parties as usual is not going to change. The Liberals and the NDP are going to continue to be the Liberals and the NDP. They're not going to change the way they operate. And the only way to get better policies, better government, and a fair and clear tax system in BC is to start getting Greens elected.
Well, thanks a lot for speaking to me, Rebecca. Is there anything that I may have missed that you think is important to touch on?
That if there is a fall election, then the citizens really need to consider if we can ever trust the Liberals, because it was the Liberals who brought in a fixed election date, and they seem to discard that at their own whim. So we need to really wonder what they stand for, if they don't even stand for their own legislation.
Well, thanks a lot for speaking to me. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Rebecca Helps is the executive director of the Green Party in BC.
All right. In a minute, we're going to have the words from the finance minister, Kevin Falcon himself. What do you address to the public? You're listening to CITR News on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Become a friend of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will net you discounts in the Westside UBC area at Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gumdrops, Kerner's Pub, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and West Coast Music.
And don't forget the UBC Bookstore. It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or visit us online at citr.ca.
Welcome back to CITR News. We're broadcasting live from the Student Union Building right here on campus at UBC. I'm Martin Lemlin, and we are talking HSD today, or PST, GST, more like it. The HSD's out. We're reverting back to the old system. We want to hear what you have to say. Give us a call here and vent. Let us know what you think. Number 604-822-CITR. Right now, we're going to go straight to the government, what they have to say. Finance Minister Kevin Falcon, in an address to the media after the Legislative Assembly.
I want to start by, first of all, acknowledging all the British Columbians who participated in this referendum, frankly, whichever side they happen to be on. Democracy is ultimately built on participation in the voting process, and we thank all of those who took the time to vote, regardless of which way they voted. I'm obviously, as a finance minister, disappointed by the result, but not altogether surprised. We recognized when we started from a place where 85% of the public was opposed to the HST, in large measure due to our own mishandling of the introduction of that major policy change, that we had an uphill battle. But we worked hard to ensure that we would try as best we could to get information to the public to ensure that the public, as best they could, would make an informed decision on how we're going to move forward. So where do we go from here? Well, we have a plan, and I'm going to take a moment here to walk you through it. The first is that the PST will be restored at the 7% rate. The target time in terms of restoring the PST so that we're back into a PST-GST system is about 18 months. So we're anticipating March 31st, 2013, and that is consistent, as you may recall, with the independent panel report that talked about a period of 18 to 24 months. We're going to push for the low end of the scale. If we can do better, we will, but that, we believe, is the responsible time frame in terms of going back. The permanent exemptions that were there before will return. We reserve the right to make some administrative changes, mostly of a relatively minor nature, mostly to just bring, as best we can, 60-year-old legislation into the 21st century. In other words, to make it easier for small businesses and business to report, et cetera, as they are dealing with the PST. And as you know, we're going to be going back, so that means that the low-income tax credit is replaced with what was there before. And we are also engaged in discussions, and we'll have continuing discussions with the federal government on exiting the agreement we have. It's commonly known as SITCA, with respect to the HST. And we will be fulfilling our obligation to return the $1.6 billion of transition funding. That is going to be subject to negotiations and discussion. I'm not going to be having a public negotiation, but we will honor the commitment we made to keep up our end of the bargain. I intend to be meeting with Minister Flaherty in September to begin those discussions on how we are going to do that. There will also be public consultations that I'm going to arrange going forward in terms of how we're going to deal with the fiscal impact, particularly in the out years. So once we go back to a PST-GST world, as you well know, there are significant fiscal impacts in terms of the dollars that are generated under a PST-GST. And that was pointed out in the independent panel report. And so obviously we need to have a discussion with the public on how we are going to responsibly deal with that. The next thing I want to walk you through is the action plan that we're putting in place. So we started federal-provincial discussions a number of weeks ago. We really were operating from the assumption that it's likely that we were probably going to have to face a potential PST-GST situation. So we've had a project team in place. It's headed by Doug Foster, who many of you will know from the Finance Ministry. And we are going to work with the federal government on their transitional rules and systems that need to be put in place. And by that, what I mean is that the federal government, in addition to repealing their legislation which put the HST in place, will need to define and create transitional rules so that the business community will understand what the rules of the game are for transitioning back to PST-GST. So that, for example, if you're making a purchase over a number of years, you're going to have some years where you're under the old HST and you get input tax credits, and then you're going to go back to the PST world, which changes. And so there needs to be transitional rules put together for virtually every sector in the business community. So it is not an inconsequential thing. We will also have to develop provincial legislation and our own transitional rules. So once we know what the federal transitional rules are, our team will put in place mirrored rules that will be at the provincial level. And of course, we also have to work on the legislation and regulations to re-implement the provincial sales tax. Systems development and implementation is self-explanatory. Provincial administration, we're going to have to set up a PST office again. We're going to have to start to rehire staff again to manage the provincial sales tax. And we've got to have business registration and outreach and business transition. And I'll take a second on that because it's important to recognize that for the business community, we have to have time to make sure that they can transition back into a PST world. And that means that they're going to need time to update their systems to understand what the rules of the game are going to be under PST. And we also have to reach out to the businesses, some 30,000 of them, that have never operated in a PST world, because they are businesses that have started since we introduced the HST, and they are businesses that continue to start in British Columbia to the tune of almost 1,000 a month. So we have to make sure that we have outreach and we have communications with them so that they understand how they are going to operate in a PST world. And there's other stakeholders that we'll be dealing with. What I can tell you is that we intend to report out on a quarterly basis. So every time I, as the Minister of Finance, will be reporting out on our fiscal situation every quarter, as we normally do, we will include a piece on where we're at in terms of transitioning back to the PST. The next is the public consultation. As you know, we're going to have a public consultation process initiated with the first quarterly report, which will come out in early September. And that is the normal budget consultation process that is undertaken. That is going to be separate and distinct from a broader public consultation we're going to have in terms of dealing with the fiscal impacts of going back to PST. But that will be the usual public budget consultative process that the Budget Finance Committee will go out, the Legislative Finance Committee will go out and undertake with respect to talking to the public. You know, obviously, that the return to the PST creates some significant pressures in terms of government budget. You'll remember that back on May the 1st, or I think back in May, I outlined that going back to the PST-GST would have about a $3 billion impact to provincial finances. $1.6 billion of that, of course, is the repayment of the transition dollars to the federal government. The balance of that are the lost revenues as a result of 2 years of reduced revenues under a PST-GST world. Obviously, we are going to work to ensure that we can manage that, and we will be able to manage that. In the September quarterly report that I will be releasing, we will outline what the fiscal impacts are with respect to the decision to go back to PST-GST. And, of course, we will manage the fact that we will have lower revenues in the out years, and we will also manage the costs of the additional costs of hiring staff and putting into place a PST world. I think it's important to recognize that though this creates a challenge, it is important to put the challenge into context. British Columbia enjoys a AAA credit rating. We've enjoyed a AAA credit rating that we've restored from a position in the 1990s where we had multiple credit rating downgrades as a result of good fiscal management. And we will continue to provide good, strong fiscal management for the province of British Columbia. And so this is a bump in the road, a significant bump in the road indeed. But as I advise the financial markets and the credit rating agencies when I was back in New York and Toronto, it is a manageable bump in the road that we will continue to manage. We will obviously, as we go forward, make sure that we continue to meet our commitment, our legislative commitment to balance the budget in 13-14, and we will do so. We will also continue to protect spending in healthcare and education, which, as you know, has climbed considerably in our current three-year fiscal plan. So the next steps, that's pretty straightforward. You can see what's going to be happening. That's the normal course of events. But the key thing there is to understand that the consultations we will have going forward will really be built upon what we learned, frankly, during this entire HST situation that we've dealt with. And the first is that increased levels of public consultation are going to be very important going forward. I can tell you, as someone that oversaw the largest public consultation effort that we've ever undertaken as a government in terms of having 275,000 British Columbians talk directly to myself and a couple of my cabinet colleagues on how we might improve the HST, this is, I think, a very good way to go forward. And it's one of the ways that we're going to engage the public in terms of how we are going to deal with the financial pressures that we will have in the outer years as a result of going back to PST, GST. But I would also like to speak directly to the financial markets for a moment. We have worked very hard as a government to achieve and restore a AAA credit rating in British Columbia, and we intend to keep that AAA credit rating that we enjoy in British Columbia. We are only one of two provinces that currently enjoy a AAA credit rating, and that is going to continue. We will continue to manage the financial pressures that face all governments and will face us as we go forward. As you know, in our public accounts that I reported out back in July, last year we beat our deficit target by $1.4 billion at a time when there was a huge amount of international uncertainty around the world, and frankly, where not too many governments were beating targets in any way, shape, or form. We intend to continue to make sure that we meet or exceed our budget targets going forward, and that is my commitment to the financial markets. This has obviously been a pretty challenging exercise in public policy development, and I think perhaps a lesson, as I've said before, in how not to introduce major public policy change. We did our very best to try and ameliorate that very poor start, and obviously we weren't successful in getting us all the way through. But I do think it is an important lesson for us, and frankly for any government, to recognize that if you are undertaking major public policy change, it is so important to bring the public in at the very beginning of that change. And I can assure you, as the Minister of Finance, if there is ever any major public policy change of that significance, the public is going to be included in a very significant way going forward. I do want to take a moment, too, to thank Elections BC staff. I actually think they did a very good job in administering this. I thought that the turnout and the response rate was very good for a mail-in ballot. I think it's important to point out that had we gone to the traditional form of voting, it would have cost about $35 million. It ended up costing, I understand, about $8.9 million to do the mail-in ballot, and I thought they managed that exceptionally well. And I do also want to take a moment to thank the Ministry of Finance staff. I can tell the public that we are blessed to have such good professionals in this ministry, and obviously we have added a major burden on them by the way in which we introduced this major public policy change and now having to go back. But I want the public to know this, that this is a first-rate group of staff that we have, and I have every confidence that we will move back into the PST-GST world as seamlessly as we possibly can and manage it to the benefit of British Columbians. And the final thing I'll say is this. If you look at British Columbia in terms of what our future looks like going forward, even under a PST-GST world, I think it is important to reflect on the fact that the investments that we have made in cooperation with the private sector, over $12 billion of joint federal, provincial, private sector investment in opening up the Pacific Gateway in British Columbia and investing in our ports, our airports, our highway infrastructure, have gone and have been successful to a point where British Columbia alone in the country now exports half of all our exports to markets other than the United States of America. And I think that that serves us well going forward. The fact that our economic future in large part is tied to some of the fastest growing parts of the world, which is Asia. And I think that that is a foundation for building for a bright future. And we will work together with the public and our public servants to ensure that we go back to a PST, GST world as responsibly as we can.
And that was Kevin Falcon, BC's Minister of Finance, addressing the media after the Legislative Assembly, where it became clear that the HST was voted to be repealed. If nothing else, it seems, at least very genuinely, that the point that public consultation in major policy changes has indeed cut through, and the mistake won't be repeated anytime soon, it doesn't sound like. Also an interesting point was the choice for the mail-in ballot, I guess. It cost only $8 million as opposed to the $35 it would have cost to run a normal election. So saving upwards of $20 million in the mail-in ballot, which had a very successful turnout. More than 50% voted, or nearly 50%. And got the point across quite well. We're going to go to a PSA. When we come back, we're going to have an interview with Iglika Ivanova of the Canadian Center for Policy Awareness. You're listening to CITR News on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Bond. James Bond.
Got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
You talking to me? You talking to me?
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Just a sweet transvestite. I'm transsexual. Transylvania.
Where else can you see Hollywood blockbusters, midnight cult classics, indie films, live music, burlesque, stand-up comedy, poetry slams, and live sporting events all at your local theater? The Rio Theater voted number one in East Vancouver. Your neighborhood indie theater that promotes all things cool.
This month, catch Cowboys and Aliens from the 1st through the 11th, a Harry Potter retrospective the 15th through 17th, lots of zombies on the 21st, and awesome midnight movies every Friday.
For more information, go to riotheater.ca.
And welcome back to CITR News. I'm Martin Lemlin, and we're going to keep on talking about the HST because that's the big news. And we're talking mostly about where we go from here. If you have any comments, please contact us. Phone number 604-822-CITR. In the meantime, we're going to go to Iglika Ivanova from the Canadian Center for Policy Awareness, and we'll talk about where we go from here. So, the HST is gone. Where do we go from here?
Well, we go back to the old system, but it will take about 18 months to get there.
At the minimum, about 18 months, 2 years.
Well, that's what the finance minister, plan B is, 18 months. That's his sort of forecast.
But the CCPA thing, this is essentially a good thing, although it's not, the PST is, complicates matters in a fiscal matter. It's good for fairness, right?
I think that it's definitely not a disaster. It's slightly better for families, and it's not really that much worse for the economy. So overall, I think that the negative reaction we're hearing today from business commentators is exaggerated. I don't think it's going to be a big problem for the economy to move forward with what people have decided they want to do.
It's not a crippling thing, but under the HST, I guess middle class families would have been taking the brunt of the burden in tax revenue, right?
Yes, absolutely. The HST was DHST was going to hit or was hitting middle and modest income families the hardest. And now returning back to the PST, this means that those families will be a little bit better off. It's not a huge thing, though. Like, returning back to the PST is not going to restore equality. It's not going to reduce our poverty rates dramatically. We're not going to see a very big difference. There's a small difference there. What I think we were concerned about is that over the last 10 years, we have made a number of changes to the tax system that have increased income inequality. And this was just one more change that was making it worse. So now we've sort of improved equality a little bit, improved tax fairness a little bit, but we still have a long way to go.
How do you feel that reverting back is good? It helps equality in BC?
Well, the reverting back to the PST helps improve tax fairness for two reasons. First, HST was a big break for business as opposed to consumers, so now we no longer have this tax shift from business to consumers. And secondly, DHST is a regressive tax. It was hurting lower and modest income families harder than higher income families because the lower and modest income families spend a higher share of their income on consumption and pay a higher share of their income in terms of consumption tax. So going back to PST would help because HST had a somewhat higher base. So more things were taxed, and that's why it was worse for families than PST, which is also a regressive tax, but the tax base is smaller, so fewer things are taxed. That's why it's a small improvement.
And it seems now that, according to the finance minister, the PST is going to be reinstated with very few, if any, changes.
Yes, that seems to be the case.
But there is room to fine-tune it, more or less, to help with our overall policy, and what are some of the things that the CPPA are going to hope to see?
There's always room to improve tax policy. In terms of PST in particular, if the government was looking to reduce tax on investment to business, they could exempt more things from it. Of course, this would have costs, so they would have to figure out different alternative source of revenue to recoup this loss of revenue. I think that what we would like to see is sort of a look at the tax system as a whole. For 2 years now, we've only had a very narrow debate about the type of sales tax that we should have, HST versus PST, but this is just one of the many taxes we have in BC. We have income tax, we have corporate income tax, we have all sorts of other taxes, and we need to look at the system as a whole. We recently did a study in BC showing that the income tax system has become widely more unfair over the last 10 years, that the tax rate for higher income earners has decreased and is now lower in some cases than tax rates for middle income earners. So you have this paradoxical situation in which the 20% richest households are paying a lower total tax rate than the middle of the BC distribution of income, so than the middle class. And so we really want to see some improvement on tax fairness. I think the HST vote was clear. British Columbians didn't approve of this tax. It was seen as an unfair tax, and we need to move in the direction of tax fairness even more by looking at the entire system of taxes.
Have you seen any reasoning why the bigger earners are paying less taxes than the middle class?
Oh, that's because we have reduced taxes for the higher earners. We have reduced personal income taxes considerably. There were several rounds of income tax cuts since 2000, and they have widely benefited the higher income earners. So everyone got a bit of a tax cut. That's what our research shows. However, the richer you are, the bigger the tax cut you got. And so overall, when we tally how much tax people are paying, and that's the total of income tax,
sales tax, MSP premiums, property tax, and carbon tax, we're finding that the richer the families are, the less total tax they pay. They pay more income tax. So income tax is progressive, but we have increased our reliance on things like MSP premiums, carbon tax, all these sort of regressive taxes that are hitting the lower income people more.
Are there any benefits to giving the high earners tax breaks? I guess not, eh?
Well, it makes them happier, maybe. I don't know. There's no real economic benefits. I mean, I think we have given them too much of a tax break, if you ask me. I think we need to rethink our system. And again, it's not just income taxes. It's not just HST versus PST. It's an entire tax system. And we need to look at both personal taxes. And we also need to look at royalties and business taxes. The amount of money we're collecting from corporate taxes has fallen over the last 10 years by about one-third. You know, now we are collecting more, for example, in MSP premiums than from corporate income tax. I think this is shocking, you know, as a finding and something that we may want to look into.
What is an MSP premium?
The MSP premium in BC is the tax, well, the fee you pay for the medical services plan.
All right, sorry.
You know?
Yeah.
And, so can you imagine, though, the government's collecting more money in MSP premiums than in provincial corporate income tax. Think about that.
does not seem right.
That does not seem right. And we're collecting more money now from sales tax than from personal income tax as a result of all the personal income tax cuts.
Does going back to the PST, does this level the playing field at least a little bit?
I think going back to the PST is a very small move in the right direction, but I think a lot more needs to be done. And that's why I was quite sort of frustrated with the whole 2 years of debating the HST, because really, with or without the HST, these issues are happening. Like, tax fairness has been reduced dramatically. Income inequality is growing. I think that HST is really a small player in that, and we really need to address some of the underlying issues here.
So it drew a lot of attention away from some heavier issues that maybe should have been given more thought.
It absolutely drew attention and energy away. For example, we haven't had a provincial budget for a year now. The provincial budget we had in 2011 was a placeholder. Like, it didn't include any new initiatives because it was meant to kind of give the room for the new premier to do something. And the new premier hasn't done anything because she has been waiting for the results of the HST referendum to see what provincial finances would look like. This means that we haven't had a really new provincial initiative since February 2010. So this is a whole year lost, in a way, by waiting to see what's going to happen to provincial finances after the HST referendum.
Fairly concerning to think that it's more than likely going to take up a good chunk of attention for the following 2 years as well.
Well, it will take some attention. I hope it won't take that much. I mean, people are expressing quite a bit of concern over the fact that we now have to repay $1.6 billion to the federal government. But we need to remember that last fiscal year, so 2010-11, our budget deficit came quite a bit under budget. They had budgeted a budget deficit of $1.7 billion. And we only had a budget deficit of $300 million. So that's $1.4 billion saved, you know. That is the majority of the money we owe the federal government. So it really isn't an insurmountable problem repaying the federal government. And I think we should really just move on and start addressing some of the bigger concerns in BC. I mean, we have the highest child poverty rate. We have the highest adult poverty rate. We have growing income inequality, And all these things have much bigger impact on our society and on our economy than the type of sales tax we have.
Well, that was one of the bigger lessons learned from this whole thing, is that there needs to be some sort of community involvement to break open the lines of communication, and that's what the CCPA is hoping to strive for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We believe strongly in open discussion and consultation on policy issues. I think a big reason why people voted against the HST was the way it was introduced, without any consultation and without any mention in the election campaign. The HST was introduced 2 months after an election, right? So I think people objected and wanted to send government a clear message that a public consultation is absolutely crucial for any major policy change.
And the CCPA has an online forum where people can talk about what steps we can take from here, right?
Absolutely. We have a blog, policynote.ca, where I have just posted some of my early reflections on the results from the referendum and what they mean for BC. And people are welcome to post comments and engage in discussion on these issues. We also have a Facebook page and a Twitter presence, so any kind of social media you can reach us at.
The important thing is to exchange the ideas.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot for speaking to me. I appreciate it. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we let you go?
Well, I don't know whether this would fit, or, you know, you can use it maybe in your own commentary. But when Election BC released the results of the referendum, they released the results by district. And I noticed that the electoral districts that voted most in favor of keeping the HST were, you know, West Vancouver, North Vancouver, and some of the upper-income Vancouver districts like Point Grey. And the districts that voted against the tax were Surrey and East Vancouver districts. You know, they had the highest proportion of votes against the tax. So it seems that there is quite a clear division along income lines, how people voted. So I was just going to do another blog post, because I was looking at sort of the results by income, and it seems very clear that the higher the electoral district's income, the more people voted to keep the tax. So I think there's something serious going on here with income inequality, and how the more, if people really vote differently based on income, higher income inequality is a big problem, right? So we're going to have more and more kind of disagreements between each other, if you like, less and less social cohesion.
Definitely a big indicator of who is being affected by the tax, because now that you mention it, I'm going to look, and you see places like Hastings in Vancouver, 66% in favor of repealing the tax, as opposed to the median of 50%.
Yeah, definitely. I think people understood exactly, you know, what affects them and voted in their own interest. But I think that it's a problem that we have increasingly divergent sort of interests, and we no longer have this kind of cohesion of it's in all of our interests, in society's interests, as income inequalities increase.
All right, well, thanks a lot for speaking to us.
Thank you, Martin.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye. That was Iglika Ivanova, who is an economist with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives in their BC office. For CITR News, I'm Martin Lemelin. And when we come back from the break here in a second, we're going to do the weekend weather forecast and wrap things up. You're listening to CITR News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting in Vancouver.
Like a snake calling on a phone, I've got no time to be alone. Summer coming at me all the time, you better think I'm in my mind.
Australia. Australia and Canada are both countries with a whole lot of space to create some of the wildest sounds on the planet. Join your host Matthew as he explores the musical heritage of his native Australia and features fresh sounds from Canada's independent music world. That's Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, live Fridays from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. And I'm stranded on my own.
Yeah, and welcome back to CITR News. We are broadcasting live from the Student Union Building right here on campus at UBC. I'm Martin Lemlin. Let's take a look at the weather, and it's looking mighty fine. You might want to crack a beer and soak it in, because who knows how it's going to last, how long it's going to last, but it looks like it's going to last at least the week. Tonight, it's going to be a low of 13 degrees with clear skies. Tomorrow and Sunday, both, not a cloud in the sky. It's going to be a beautiful bluebird day with about 23 degrees, it looks like. Although Monday, it's a possibility of overcast, still going to be 20 degrees, and from Tuesday onwards, right through to Thursday, highs of 21, lows of 14, nothing but sunshine. Enjoy it. Information brought to you by Environment Canada, and that is pretty much going to do it for our show for today, August 26, 2011. We were heavy on the HST news, but that's what was important today, so that's what we brought you. If you'd like to get involved with the show,